as we continue our prosperity series. As I was coming along in the car, some other interesting ideas came to me that I want to share with you. This all has to do with prosperity. Let me hear you say the word prosperity. And I dealt with the meaning of that term, and it always helps to review that. To me, prosperity is total well-being. Say that. Prosperity is total well-being. It's not just something material. So, in this prosperity series, we're talking about total well-being. And I want to speak with you about faith and perception. Faith and perception. So let me hear you also say faith and perception.
Faith and perception.
Say it again.
Faith and perception.
The third time.
Faith and perception.
Es muy, muy importante. We as religious people have heard a lot said about faith. Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Now, what is faith? Faith is your self-perception. Whatever you perceive that I am. Now, this isn't an exclusive definition for faith. It is inclusive. So I'm going to have you repeat after me. Faith is
my self-perception.
Whatever I perceive
that I am.
It is somewhat of a mind science definition. And as I say, it's not exclusive, it's inclusive. There are many ways to say the same thing. And I like to say the same thing in many different ways. According to your faith, so be it unto you, says Jesus. To paraphrase it, according to your self-perception, so be it unto you. What is your self-perception? And now let's deal with another definition of the word perception. And here it is. Perception is the way I see myself within my own self-consciousness. And I'm going to have you repeat it after me. Perception is
the way I see myself
within my own self-consciousness. Perception is
what I add to I am
by what I see,
feel,
believe, and say that I am. Sister Mary is writing this, and you'll have a chance to observe it more slowly and even up more closely after the session. But we want to get a working definition of what I'm talking about at the moment. There is a statement that's very interesting. In a sense, it may be scary. I got a couple of scary statements for you this hour of the morning. Here is the first statement that some people may find rather scary. There is no reality, only perception.
perception. And now, perception is synonymous with consciousness, with awareness. It all means exactly the same thing. But a statement like that, there is no reality, only perception. Things are as they are because I perceive them to be that way. Is that what you're saying? What do you mean there is no reality, only perception? Well, think about that for a moment. You take this extreme weather we've had over the past few days. Some people perceive that to be bad weather. Other people perceive it to be wonderful. Different people can be in the same environment and perceive it to be altogether different. Now, let me make another way out statement. There is no reality, only perception. That also means that the poor are poor because they perceive themselves to be poor. Oh, how radical. The rich are rich because they perceive themselves to be rich. They are self-conscious of being rich. They are aware of being rich. The poor are poor because they perceive themselves to be poor. They perceive, they are conscious of being poor. So what do? Here in this teaching, our business is the conditioning of consciousness. Let me hear you say, the conditioning of consciousness. Now that's what a mastery of life is about. The conditioning of consciousness. At every moment of eternity, at every point in time and space, your self-consciousness is being conditioned. That you cannot escape. How it is being conditioned is what you can control. And that's where we come to the science of mind and the technology and science of mind. Let me hear you say, control that which controls you.
Control that which controls you.
Oh my goodness. Isn't that far out? That may be scary to some people. I can control that which controls me? According to your faith, so be it unto you. According to your perception, so be it unto you. You take fasting, for example. Fasting, in its higher understanding, means that you withdraw your consciousness from your senses. Now, Dr. Tony Mitchell teaches us that very well in his session. You withdraw your consciousness from your senses, from what you see out there, from what you feel, from what you can apprehend and comprehend with your five senses. That's fasting. You see, a lot of you didn't have the slightest idea that when Dr. Tony Mitchell takes you into those exercises, that you were fasting. because you were only taught to fast in the religious sense. And you learn to withdraw your consciousness from your senses so that you can recondition yourself to be master, to tell your mind what to think, to tell your feelings how to feel, and to tell your body how to react. And that is spiritual self-mastery. When you learn to control your perception, you learn to control your self-consciousness. When you learn to control that which controls you. Say that with me. Control that which controls you.
Control that which controls
you. Now I'm going to get a little scarier here. And I'm going to say something bold-faced. And I've even got Bible to back it up. Because some of you don't believe anything unless the preacher shakes the Bible in your face. Are you trying to tell us, Reverend Knight, that we can control God? Ooh, even the question is scary. We cannot control the nature or the name of God, which is I Am. You cannot control the name or the nature of God, which is I Am. But you can, and you must learn to control what you add to I Am. This is why we are told in the commandments, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And to take the name of the Lord in vain is to add something negative to I Am. You see, in religion, they have not taught us, they have not had the slightest idea what that meant, to take the name of the Lord in vain. But the only thing we knew that meant was to add a damn after God. Now, that's not a nice thing to do. But it is worse to add poor after I Am. You have taken the name of the Lord in vain. You need to get Reverend Ike's The Master of Success series, where Reverend Ike deals with this commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And where Reverend Ike explains, every mind takes the name of the Lord. And of course, this is why we call this science, knowledge. It's good to know what you're doing with your mind. We're always doing something with our minds. We're always conditioning the unconditioned God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. I want to belabor this point. But every mind takes the name of the Lord. Let's hear it. All day long, every mind takes the name of the Lord. What is that name? I Am. It means that constantly and continually, every mind is adding something to I Am by what they perceive, by what they feel, by what they imagine, by what they say. So you really don't even have to open your mouth. Telling you how every mind takes the name of the Lord. Every time you feel, which is all the time, you are saying, I am. And you ought to consciously learn how to tell your feelings how to feel. That's another series here. Tell your mind what to think. Tell your feelings how to feel. Tell your body how to react. Almighty God, and I think I said this to you, again, if I say the same thing over and over again, I intend to, I tell you again and again, this is not an intellectual exercise. Every time you say or feel, you're saying I am. And so you learn how to withdraw your senses, withdraw yourself, your consciousness, out of your senses, and you make a decision. What do I want to be? What do I want to do? What do I want to have? Yes, and what is it that I want to change? Let me hear you say, what is it that I want to change? And what do I want to change it to? And you begin to perceive, to imagine, to see, and to feel that change. As a matter of fact, you become that change. Jesus went down to the seashore with his disciples and said, let us pass over to the other side. And it said he entered into a ship and passed over to the other side. We've read that all for God knows how many centuries in the Bible and missed the point. He was teaching us a lesson how to pass over and have a change of circumstances. You don't want to be where you are? Enter into a ship. Enter into that state of consciousness that you would like to express. And remain in that ship of that state of consciousness. And that state of consciousness, that perception, will take you over to the other side. You don't have to worry about it. You remember, it said that Jesus went down into the bottom of the ship, into the subconscious, and went to sleep. He was in one of Tony's deep deltas. He was at rest. He had already spoken the word. Let us pass over to the other side. Let's hear it.
Let us pass over to the other side.
And then he entered into that state of consciousness. Didn't struggle with anybody or anything. Oh, the winds and the waves arose. But he had already spoken the word. He was at peace. This is how you learn to control that which controls you. Control your perception. Control your self-consciousness. Now, here's a statement I like to make every once in a while to remind you of the basic truth. And I'm going to have you repeat it after me. Only consciousness is anything. Does anything. Has anything. And yet consciousness is no thing. It is consciousness which says, I am God, and there is none else. It's good to know in life what you're dealing with. You know, you're not really dealing with him and her and them and that. God is not through with me yet. But I have some graces. Now, I'm at the point now where I don't have to forgive anybody anymore. I forgive myself. And I find that when I forgive myself, automatically that absolves everybody else. Before sunrise this morning, as it usually is, I had great prayer and meditation. And I just spent a lot of time in forgiving my perceptions. And it's interesting also, I found myself not only forgiving quote unquote the sins of the world, but also forgiving the sorrows and the sufferings of the world. And the sickness and diseases of the world. And my intellect just said, wow. You remember when they let down the lame man through the roof in front of Jesus to be healed? Jesus said, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, there is what they teach us in the theological cemetery, hamartiology, which is the doctrine of sin. But that statement by Jesus, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee, that was not a hamartiological statement. Son, I forgive you of your perception of being lame. I forgive you of your misperception of being disabled. I forgive you of your misperception of your wants, your lacks, and your limitations. I forgive you of your suffering. Now take up your bed. Go into your house. Forgiveness is a much more comprehensive and healing thing than we are necessarily taught in religion. And even as we pray for other people and we pray for the healing of quote-unquote other people, and of course there are no such things. There are no other people. We are told, love your neighbor as yourself. You love your neighbor as yourself because your neighbor is yourself. Even that SOB, that's you. So you forgive that SOB. That's you. That's you really begging for forgiveness. You remember the woman who was set up, tricked, caught in adultery, said to Jesus, when he said, woman, where are your accusers? Well, that was time for her to put her hands on her hip, let her backbone slip, and say, those no good blankety blank blank, they set me up. And then was peeking through my window. But she said something so esoteric and so metaphysical that, again, the theologians missed it. Lord, I have no accusers. What? Have these people have just brought you here? They set you up in the first place and brought you here with stones in their hands, ready to kill you. You have no accusers. Oh, that tells us so many things. that ultimately there is no accusation but self-accusation. The soul who repents of accusing can no longer be accused. I want to say that again. The soul which repents of accusing can no longer be accused. Now repeat that after me. The soul which repents of accusing can no longer be accused. What a lesson I had of that. The Holy Spirit said to me, don't even accuse the accuser. My intellect said, what? Those low down blankety blank blank blankety blank 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 blank. I ain't never done none of that in all my whole life. Blankety blank blank blank. The Holy Spirit said, don't even accuse the accuser. Let's hear it. Whew. You see why this is not for everybody. And I sat at a table with a panel of accusers taking depositions several days and shared my water with the accusers. They're sitting over there just lying. And drinking my water. Got to the point very soon where they expected it, asked for it. And then they liked the water, then they wanted some of my juice. Yeah. See, but before it was all over, they were glad to leave me alone. As I told you before, that whole firm of lawyers don't even exist anymore. Went out of business. And even the lead lawyer on the case called my lawyer and begged for a job. And said about the other lawyer, said, you know, he usually gets away with stuff like that. Let me tell you, mess with Jesus, he'll shut your ass down. Excuse me, saints. Excuse me, saints. So the soul that refuses to accuse can't be accused. I'm just not going to accuse. Want some water here? Want some juice here? The soul that refused to accuse said, Lord, I have no accusers. See, when you learn how to work with the science, you see, you can even control the accuser. I don't have any. See, there is affirmation and denial. The angel of affirmation and the angel of denial. See, it lets you know, you can't even accuse me unless I give you the power. Unless I give you the power. So one by one, the accusers dropped their stones, walked off. The world can't kill you when you know how to control that which controls you. They'll have to drop their stones. I want to go back to what I was saying. Only consciousness is anything. Repeat it after me. Does anything. Has anything. yet consciousness is no thing. It is consciousness which says, I am God, and there is none else. And everything, every condition, rich or poor, sick or well, happy or sad, good or bad, is your own conditioned self-consciousness. If you don't want any accusers, don't even call them accusers. You don't want any enemies, don't even name them enemies. Lest you be taking the name of the Lord in vain. Woman, where are your accusers? Accusers? I don't have any. It's up to me whether or not I want to have enemies. My enemies get their franchise from me. Hello. What did I say? If I don't enfranchise my enemies, they can't be my enemies. It is impossible for anybody to be my enemy unless I give you license. May even try, but you can't. So everybody that you have ever called enemy, take your license back. Stop licensing people to oppose you. Before you go to an office or an agency, send the Holy Spirit ahead of you with love. Send so much love in that place that when you get there, they'll be smiling and just waiting to do everything for you that they can. It's a setup. Send so much love that it dissolves all untruth and all hatred. Now, is Reverend Ike, can I control God? I want to go over this again. We do not control the nature or the name of God. That you can't control. I am God and there is none else. We cannot control the nature of God, but we must and can control what we add to the name of God, which is I am. And again, the secret is revealed to us in that scripture which says, let the weak say what? Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Now, you see, if you're a literalist and you don't understand that, it looks like you're being told to lie. But you know what the truth is? I am weak is the lie. Hey, hey! You know something else, too? I am sick is a lie. I am is not sick. Even if you die, I am ain't sick. I am poor is a lie. Now, this is a prosperity series. What did I say? I am poor is a lie. It is impossible for you to be poor. How can you be? Why, your daddy is the richest man that ever lived. Jesus said, the poor you have always with you. What does that mean? If you have a poor perception, you'll always be poor. What is it that cuts people off from the riches of God? Perception. Change your perception. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The Lord, the law. There is law in the universe. We call it law of mind. The law of mind says, let the weak say, I am strong. And And I am will make you whatever you say, whatever you perceive, whatever you feel, whatever you imagine. Are you my very son, Esau? You see, God is always asking you, life is always asking you, who are you? Say to the people around you, who are you? A million times a day, the Father is asking you, who are you? Oh, listen, you have an opportunity. You have the same opportunity as Rockefeller. Yeah. Who? And you know something else? Also, a million times a day, you are answering God. You're answering life by your perception, by your faith, by your feeling. The blind father. Theologians never figured that out either. The father being blind is telling us that God doesn't care who you are. Doesn't make any difference. You may be the wrong person. You see, the wrong boy got the blessing because he said the right thing. Hello. And we see that representation of justice. How? Blindfolded. And I told you what justice is. What? Justice, you think? The sociologists don't understand that. That isn't fair. And then they go chanting up and down, no justice, no peace, no justice, no peace, no justice. No peace. Just cursing themselves, taking the name of the Lord in vain. No justice, no peace, no justice, no peace. I'm crossing it out even as I'm repeating it. Justice is blind, y'all. She doesn't see a black man or a white man or a Jew man or a Hispanic man. She's listening to hear what you say. And you there, you missing your opportunity. Who are you? No justice, no peace, no justice, no peace. That's why I never could join these people in their race and political rallies. I'm not interested in being black. Forgive me, y'all who are. I'm interested in being green. I'm interested in being so green that people don't care what color my face or anything else is. Who are you? Who? Who are you? Who are you perceiving yourself to be? Who are you saying that you are? Who are you feeling that you are? Oh! Just tell me and I'll make you. That's like Jesus said to Simon, who became Peter. Just follow me, I'll make you. Whew. When you get home, get a big sheet of paper for this week. Your homework is going to be to put up a question up top. Who I am? Put a question mark after it. Are you my very son Esau? Are you the one who is entitled to the blessing? Yes. feeling gets the blessing. Say that. It'll also get the cursing. It's a law. Are you my very son Esau? Are you the one who is entitled to the blessing? Even if you're not, if you'll change your perception. Jacob and his mama decided that he should have the blessing. Some of you don't even know who your mama is. Most of you don't know who your daddy is, but even more of you don't even know who your mama is. Is it playing the dozen now? Your mother is your indwelling divine intuition. Let me hear you say, my mother is my indwelling divine intuition. Then Tony helps us to get in contact with that. The wrong boy teamed up with his mother. His indwelling divine intuition. And she taught him how to feel like the one who deserved the blessing. And when he came before the blind father, life asks you this. Tune out everything this week and listen to God. Listen to life. Listen to the law. Listen to the Lord asking you, who are you? And don't blow your chance.
Amen.
I tell you again and again about that wonderful lady that a lot of people call a cultist, I guess. Everybody is somebody's heretic. But it was Mary Baker Eddy. Her reported last words as she was passing on was, God is my life. Say that three times. Just another way of saying, I am life. I'm conscious of God as my life. As Jesus said it, I am the resurrection and the life. Who are you? Wow, what an opportunity. Get that sheet of paper and put up there who I am. Question mark. You see, because this is another way to say it. I am my own self-definition. Ooh, wow. Say that three times. That's right. Take back your power of self-definition. What has happened is, in too many cases, people have given the world their power of self-definition. Don't let other people define you. No. This week in that homework, who I am? Question mark. Boy, you have an opportunity to define yourself. If you don't like the self-definition that you are now living through, change it. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I like the first part of that passage. Be not conformed to this world. Oh, what a wonderful thing it tells us. You don't have to conform to what the world says about you. My granddaughter told us that when she was back in grade school, they defined her as one having a learning disability. And she lived under that. Until I put my foot down and told her and her sister, don't bring me any C's. when they got in college. No more allowance, no more nothing. If you bring me another C, her school report has got A's up and down, nothing but A's. What did she do? Redefined herself. I'm no longer going to live under this definition of learning disability. So she'll be getting a master's degree and going on to teach in college and get her doctorate. Be not conformed to this world. Let you know you don't have to conform to the facts of your condition. I do not have to be conformed to the facts of my condition. See, the first thing you do is get your mind out of that condition. Amen. Reverend Ike says the first place you get anything is where? In your mind. Get your mind out of that condition, and your behind will follow. Come close, my son, that I may feel you. Are you my very son, Esau? Are you the one that deserves the blessing? And oh, how religion does people in so much by teaching them they don't deserve. You have to make yourself feel like you're the one that deserves the Father's blessing. And don't take the name of the Lord in vain. How are you going to answer God this week? I want you to take that piece of paper now. This is your opportunity. But more than that, as I said, and I want to be redundant, remember that life is asking you all the time, who are you? Who? We hear you say, who? Who? And even gives us the right answer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he has already redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Who is the enemy? Your false identity. Most people live under that false identity. I told you, and it bears repeating again and again and again. Man's false identity is sinner. Mind's true identity is Christ, the Son of the living God. Forgive yourself of any other false identity. According to your faith, according to your perception, so be it unto you. This is your great opportunity to control that which controls you. I want to quote again. I think I did it perhaps a few minutes ago, but this bears repeating, particularly for those of us who grew up in a Bible-based tradition. Almighty God says, command you me. And as I begin to close this part of it, I'm going to have Sister Mary find that. And I think it reads something like, concerning my sons and the work of my hands, command you me. Command you me. This is Almighty God.
Isaiah 45:11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me.
Let the weak say, I am strong, and God is commanded to do what? To make you strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, and that commands God to do what? To make you rich. As Neville says, you will be led over a bridge of incident, which you cannot and need not consciously devise. You see, who, but don't get hung up in how. You'll be just like the spiritual says, your soul will look back and wonder how. You got over. Never mind, I got over. I want to go over this again. You do not control the nature of God, the name of God, which is I am. You see, because it is the nature of God to become whatever you add to I am. You can't change that. You can't control that. But you can control what you add to I am. That's yours. You have carte blanche. Life is asking the black man, the white man, the blue man, the green man, the pink man, the purple dot man, every kind of man, who are you? And the answer is yours. Let me hear everybody say, what an opportunity.
What an opportunity.
Don't blow it. And I'll tell you this little thing again that I like to tell you every once in a while about the fairy godmother who appeared to a man and his wife and gave them three wishes. And the man said, yes, he said, I wish I had an apple pie. His wife thought, well, isn't this disgusting? A great opportunity like this. And he's wishing for an apple pie. She got so disgusted. As soon as he said, I wish I had an apple pie, the apple pie just zapped right out of the ether and appeared before. But she was so disgusted that she said, I wish it was on your head. And the apple pie said, zap! Stuck right up beside his head. How many wishes is that? Wasted so far. Then she looked at him and she felt so sorry for him. Said, I wish it was off. They blew three wishes. Now don't you blow yours. All they got out of that was an apple pie. I want you to hear this week as you've never heard before. God asking you, who are you? Are you my very son, Esau? The Bible says that the boy answered and said, I am, implying I am the very one who deserves the blessing. He was the wrong boy, but he gave the right answer. You might be the wrong everything. Oh, but for God's sake, give the right answer. Say, but won't I be lying and lie? Just learn how to tell the right lie. See, the trouble is most people tell the wrong damn lie. If you want to call it that, let the weak say what? I'm strong. Let the poor say. Let the sick say. That's why I've twisted the words to the benediction song that we use here. You notice? I am well. I am well. I am well. Some of the things that we're doing is everything that I do for a reason. That's the last thing we say. I am well. I am total well-being. I am whole. I am healthy. I am joyful. I am rich. I am well. And I take that benediction with me all through the week and sing it and say it. I am well. I am well. I am well. and the entrepreneur, Andre Taylor, will be sharing with us. Talking about entrepreneurship. A young man right here among us since he was 9 years of age. Started his own business and generated over $1 million last year. God gave him a multi-million dollar idea. And you know, God has some other multi-million dollar ideas. Don't count yourself out. But yeah, but that was Andre. But I'm too old, I'm too black. I'm too this, I'm too that, I'm too the other. I could run it down to you. A blind lady, Mary C. in California, started feeling her way around her kitchen cooking candy, giving that delicious candy to her family and friends. And it was so good that they said to her, listen, you need to sell this. The upshot of it was, when she passed on in her 90s, she had founded a multi-million dollar business empire that goes on until today. See's Candies. Interestingly enough, her name was Mary C. Even though she was blind, Mary could see, you see? And if a blind old lady could feel her way around in the kitchen, think of what you could do. See, God gives every one of us something. I got shoes, you got shoes, all God's children's got shoes. See, you have some talents you don't even know anything about. So the blind lady just felt her way around in the kitchen. One of my favorite entrepreneurs, How to Get Rich, A.G. Gaston said, find a need and fill it. Back in the days in Alabama, when he grew up, it was dangerous. They were lynching black folks right and left. In the midst of all of that, he became a multimillionaire. I spoke at A.G. Gaston Day in Alabama, I guess, back during the early 80s. It was great to meet him. He was in his 80s then. And I read his book called Green Power. Spoke that night at the meeting. A.G. Gaston Day in Alabama. And so many different little events where he found a need and filled it. He worked at a mill when he first went to Birmingham. And he noticed that the colored folks didn't have burial insurance. So he decided to start a company. So at the pay station, he had a little table where he would collect 25 cents. The big problem was, after about the first week, his first claimant upped and died. And he tried to get the pastor, the local pastor, to let him out of having to pay for that funeral, but the pastor wouldn't let him out. But at that funeral, the pastor said, listen, we're not going to be taking up any more money during funerals to pay for final expenses. He said, Brother Gaston's going to set up a table outside, and all of you had better go out there and join his insurance company. And boy, they lined up out there. And his insurance company is going strong until today, even though he passed on at about 100. Let me hear you say, find a need and fill it. I visited him also at his bank building, downtown Birmingham. And during the 60s and during the marches and so on and so forth, he was the one that was bailing out the freedom marches. Let me hear you say, find a need and fill it. So you be here and hear Andre talk about entrepreneurship. All right? Who are you? I am well. I am rich.